Isn't God good to us? It's good to see everybody this afternoon. Praise the Lord. Is everybody blessed? Everybody awake? I know all that good food settles on us. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of God. It's good to be with God's people this afternoon. I would like to share with you, with the Lord's help. I've come down here. I feel a little more comfortable getting a little bit closer to you. Maybe I'll slow down a little bit as we go to the Word of God here, because I think there's some things I want to share that the Lord has shared with me that we need to see again. It's not that we haven't probably seen them, but I think that we need to go over them because they're important. I'd like you to turn with me in Numbers chapter 13. In Numbers chapter 13, we're going to see here when Moses is told by God, he's going to send out the 12 men from each tribe, and they're going to go out and spy out the land, amen, that God is going to give the people to inherit. And these spies are going to have a comment as they come back and tell Moses and the people of God there all the things which they have seen and which has transpired for them, the 40 days that they have been out in the wilderness and out there going over the land and looking at the land. I know we probably all read this. I hope everybody's read Numbers chapter 13. It's pretty familiar scriptures to most of us, but I do want to look at this because I want to talk about, if I entitle this study or this sermon anything, what kind of spirit do you have? What kind of spirit do you have? Because when we look at these 12 individuals who will come back, we are going to notice with these individuals, the spirit that they have is going to affect the whole congregation. Everybody will be affected because of what they say and the spirit in which they say it. And the reason I say this is because I think it's very important for us as Christians to be careful with the type of spirit we have in church. When we come to church, what kind of spirit do we bring in? Is the spirit pleasing to God or is it offensive to God? And so I think we can learn from these men who go out exactly what God wants from us. And we're going to learn especially from a couple of them, Caleb and of course Joshua. They will have the type of spirit we all would love and must have to be prevalent in our lives, especially among God's people and in the land in which we live in. I believe God has given us a duty and a privilege to get out in the land that we are in and to conquer it. How many believe that? I believe it. God has allowed us to conquer and to take the land, amen, that He has given us. But are we taking it the way God wants us to take it? Well, I don't want to end up, and there's a lot here I want to tell you about, but I don't want to end up like these folks. Because we will look in the study that they will lose out. This generation will lose out with God. Terrible thing. They will all die in the wilderness because of their rebellion, except those 20 years old. And the next generation that will come up, they will be the ones that will go into the promised land. But this generation will fall in the desert where they are at. They'll be wandering around in the desert until all the carcasses will fall to the earth and die. Except for that of Caleb and Joshua. They will go on because those two men had a right spirit.
Yes.
And we need to look at that this afternoon. So I want to go to verse 1 because I want to pick it up. I don't want you to lose something here. It says in verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses." And the Lord spake unto Moses. Okay, this wasn't Moses' idea. This is God's idea. "Saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel." Stop there a second. Who gives them the land? The Lord, right? God says, "I give them the land." I want that to sink in a minute. Already, they have seen the miracles and the wonders of God performed. Already, they have, Lord help me, they have already rebelled, will be 10 times against the Lord. and against what he has said to do. Already, these are a rebellious group of people. But God still says, I will give you the land. I'm going to give. God's promises are sure. Amen? Okay, let's go on. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler from among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those were the heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names. And I think they're important. And I want to read them because, you know, we need to know these fellas. Of the tribe of Reuben, Shammua. Of the son of Zakur. Of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat. Of the son of Hori. Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephthah. Of the tribe of Issachar, Egal, the son of Joseph. Of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun. And by the way, that's Moses will change his name to Joshua. That's him, okay? Oshea. Of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Raphu, of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodi, of the tribe of Joseph, namely of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadai, the son of Susi, of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamil, of the tribe of Asher, Sether, the son of Michael, of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, the son of Voshi, of the tribe of Gad, Geul, the son of Mashi. Now, y'all try to do that too, okay? Amen. Don't you say, Brother Carter, you butchered that. It's all right. I think I did pretty good on them. Oh, thank you, church. I appreciate all that. Amen. Whew, I don't have Brother Dan up here reading these things, but praise God. I tried to do it. Okay. It says, now, verse 16, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Hallelujah. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountains and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities that be that they dwell in, whether they in tents or in strongholds. In other words, go see and spy it. I want to know what they got, right? That's what Moses is saying. I want to know their strengths. I want to know their weaknesses. I want to know the strongholds. I want to know what we're coming up against. That's what Moses wants to know. Spy out that land and what the land is, whether it's be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. I mean, what kind of land is God giving us? And be ye of good what?
Courage.
Don't be fearful, right? The absence of courage is what? Fear. Don't be afraid of what you may see. Don't be scared because you may see something out there that, oh, I don't know about all this, you know. But I want you to know, he said, be of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was at the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, and men came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came upon Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmiah, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they went unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. Boy, don't we wish we could get that today, fellas. And they bear it between two upon a staff. And they brought it out, and they brought out the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. Wow. So they've been spying out the land. They see the produce of the land. They even cut some of it to bring back and to show the people. Clusters of grapes, carried between two men. They must have been a heavy cluster. Big clump of grapes, or big juice. Boy, I'm getting hungry for grapes now. But it must have been a wonderful thing. They see the produce there. God is giving them a land flowing with milk and honey. They are giving vineyards. God is going to give them vineyards that they have not planted. Did not God say, go out and spy which I give unto the children of Israel? I'm giving them this land? Wow. You would think, whoo, I'm excited. I go out and I see these things. I'm ready to come back. I'm ready to give a good report. I'm ready to tell the people, let's go. The land is ours. Glory to God. It's time to take it.
Yes, it is.
Wouldn't you be ready to take the land after being in bondage over 400 years? Wouldn't you be ready to take and to go into that promised land that God is going to give you? Yes. I know I would be. But these folks are a little different. And we're going to see that here, okay? Notice the spies return in verse 25, and they return from searching the land after 40 days. They were out there a little while, a little over a month, getting out there, exploring it, taking their time, looking up and down. And when they went and came to Moses and Aaron, and please note this, and to all the congregation of who? The children of Israel. They did not just stop and tell Moses and Aaron, but they told in the presence of all the congregation of Israel. We need to be careful what we say in the congregation of the saints. Are you with me?
Yeah.
We need to be careful what these lips and this tongue says among God's people. Does not the scripture tell us that we are to exhort, to lift up, to bless God's people? We're not to bring reproach. We're not to bring down the house of God. Amen. But we're to uplift. We're to bless. And they come unto the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Sounds good so far. Whoa, look what we did. Look what we got. And everybody sees it so far and is probably rejoicing. Woo, look what God has for us. Look at the clusters that they brought. Wow. Some of the people, I imagine if I was there and I saw these men bring back all this, I'd be saying, all right, man, we've got it made. God is loving us. God is blessing us. And notice, and they told him, excuse me, and said, we come unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it.
Right.
I wish they would have stopped right there.
Right.
If they would have stopped right there, it would have been fine. If they would have just stopped, they said a good, they gave a good report. They had a good spirit about that. Well, we checked it out, and we brought back the fruit. And this is, oh, a place is flowing with milk and honey. Well, don't you know all the people there were excited? The congregation heard that in their ears thinking, God is going to give us a place flowing with milk and honey. God is going to give us the fruit of the land. God is going to bless us. And I imagine their spirits were uplifted at this time, before anything else is said, they were like ready to go. I know I would have been. Oh, all right. This is wonderful.
Yeah.
Now remember, they said this in the congregation of all of Israel, before all the people. And instead of being and having a spirit that they should have had, joyful fruit of jubilation, of ready to just take the promised land and have and to encourage each other. Let's go. We're ready to go out and to receive what God has given us. The next word disturbs me, because in chapter 20 and verse 28, they say, nevertheless. Uh-oh. What do you mean, nevertheless? Listen now, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Oh, you know, I can see some of the people in the congregation getting worried now. Anak, well, you know what they got, right? They're the people of the giants. They got giants with them. Okay? So already the people are like, giants in the land? Oh, no. Well, wait a minute now. I don't know about this. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So here, when they began really good and blessed them and said it was flowing with milk and honey, now they turn with this pessimistic spirit about them, that God is not able to give us what we got. We're not able to take what really we have seen and what we have already brought and shown you here, because the land is strong that we went into. They looked past the abundance of the land and saw only obstacles. Now, church, we have got to be careful that we in this church, that we don't lose concept of God's blessings to us and only see obstacles in our way. My, we can sit back. Come on, all of us now. We can sit back in our chairs and say, boy, do we see obstacles. This problem and this problem and this problem and this trial and that trial and, oh, this person at work and that. I mean, we could go on and on with the troubles of life and the trials of life. But what God wants you to hear and to understand is that when these things are there before us, God has a promise to us. Just last week, God told us He has a door open that no man can shut. Woo! Well, that means to tell me I better hold on to that promise. Praise God. And I'm going to walk in that door. And I'm going to do what God wants me to do. No matter what is about me, no matter what obstacles are out there that are seemingly impenetrable, I can't climb over that wall. I can't go across that river. I want you to know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But now these men, except for two of them, of course, Joshua and Caleb, these 10 brought this report, and they're going to continue with it. They brought this evil report. Their spirit was not willing. It was pessimistic about what God can do. And they told them about the Amalekites and the different people of the lands. And in the midst of them bringing this spirit about them, Caleb, verse 30, I love it. Steal the people before Moses. Woo, glory. We need men of God and women of God to stand up against evil. Right. To stand up against a spirit that wants to tear down. Amen, church. Oh, yeah. And Caleb stands up. He says, let us go at once and possess it. I like this guy. For we are well able to overcome, he says, it. We must stand up against the evil. We must stand up against the spirits of this world and say, hey, you guys are too small. Your congregation is too little. You'll never have any effect in this community. Excuse me. Come on. I'm ready to fight the good fight. I'm ready to lay hold of eternal life. I'm ready to go forward with God. I'm not ready to go backwards. I'm not ready to say, hey, I can't do this. We can't do this. We might as well shut the doors and quit. No, 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 no. God wants us to go on. It is God who said, I will give unto the children of Israel. And it is our God who speaks to us and says, I have a door that's open for you. Go through it. I have the doors and the ministries open for you. Go and take the land, because God has many people to be saved. Right. What an exciting time we live in. But we don't need to come to church, amen, and present a spirit that will not be productive in the house of God. Woo! Have you ever been around someone who just downs all the time? Never has a good thing to say? Hopefully, I've never met anybody here in our church that does that. Praise God. But I have been around people at work that they're just down all the time. They're just, you know, defeated, you know, nothing, there's no, the spirit about them is not energetic, it's not wanting to go forward, it's just wanting to be defeated. They have a defeatist attitude, a spirit of defeat. We as God's children are more than conquerors. That's what the Bible says. We're more than conquerors, amen. And now notice here, verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, these other 10 with him now, these other, not Joshua, these other 10, They went up and said with him, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now they're saying this. I keep bringing this up, but they are saying this in the midst of the congregation. These people are stronger than we are. They did not believe God was able to do what He promised. We must believe God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think. Church, these people did not believe God. They have an unbelieving spirit. Wow. What should that say for us in church? Let's not come to church with an unbelieving spirit. Our God is able. Our God is able. Maybe I should say that all the time. Our God is able to people. Our God is able.
Right.
Our God is able. I mean, that's what Caleb says. Our God's able. Let's take the land. Let's go on. Let's fight the people. Let's go. God is not handing the promised land to them on a silver platter. Understand that.
Yeah.
They are not going to just go and say, oh, God's going to just open this up. This. They got to fight for what they're going to get. God's given them the land. God will be with them in their battles, but they got to take it. There is no time for an unbelieving spirit among them. Also, they said they brought up an evil report, an evil spirit among them. Now, listen in verse 32. An evil report of the land which they searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Unbelieving, evil report. We can't fight against these people. And in verse 33, and they saw the giants of the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. You know, sometimes I think because we don't want to go on with God, we have now this discouraging spirit that comes about these children here that we're giving this report. They're a discouraged group. Man, I just can't. It blows my mind. You would think that they would come back excited, but they have come back unbelieving and discouraged, giving evil reports to the children of Israel.
Yes.
I would not want to stand in the congregation and before God and give an evil report in the congregation. Especially when God says, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you.
Yeah.
Oh, but we can't take it. There's giants in the land. God's not able. God's not faithful. Do you understand what I'm saying? Be careful with the spirits that we have when we come to church.
Yes.
We should come into the house of God with a spirit of joy and jubilation, knowing that God is able to do great and mighty things in our midst, church. Amen. And interesting, you know, in our sight we're as grasshoppers and they were in their sight. Kind of, to me, it's a little bit of false representation there. You know? I mean, really? I mean, did they already forget the miracles that God has done? Have they already forgotten the 10 plagues that God did to Egypt? How God, by His mighty hand, destroyed Egypt? How God opened the Red Sea? How quickly we forget the power of God. Oh, but we're like grasshoppers in the sight of these giants among the land. I think we're a little bit over-exaggerating here, fellas. You know, I can see Caleb and Joshua. Oh, man. You know, what's the matter with these guys? Man, I'm ready to go.
Right.
I'm ready to go on with God. We have got to have that spirit, church.
Yes.
Because the devil will try to defeat us in any way he can. He'll bring that unbelieving spirit, that evil report in churches. Be careful now. Be careful with that discouraging spirit that may enter into our churches and try to pull us down and away from the purpose that God has for us. We need to watch ourselves, guard ourselves. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Now notice what he says in chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation, oh my. Now this is what it does. Listen, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Well, that was not what Moses expected to be brought back to the congregation, I guarantee you. Moses did not expect an evil, complaining, cowardice, rebellious spirit to be brought back to the congregation of Israel. He did not expect that. And what does that spirit do? It causes all of Israel to cry to God and to weep. Instead of being, woohoo, let's go get it. Let's take the land. Let's go on. Let's fight. God has given it to us. Men, get your swords. Praise God. Come on, gather together. We're ready to go. Oh, and the Lord will be sitting down there smiling. You know, the Lord will be, whoo, that's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of people I want. I brought you this far. I've shown you my glory. I've given you all things that you have right now. Now, go take it. Go take it. But no, God looks down and sees them complaining. God sees their grumbling. God sees their unbelief. And God sees that their false representation that they have given to the congregation. And now the congregation has a complaining spirit among them. Right. What can God do with a congregation that complains? God says a little bit later, I'm going to destroy them. I need to just wipe these folks off the map right now. And I'll tell you what, Moses, I'll take you and make a nation out of you. I have tried these people, and for 10 times now, they have rebelled against me. Right. I'm tired of them. They're complaining. Now they're weeping at night. And I want us to see this. And all the people of Israel murmured, verse 2, they murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Right. The leaders. Now they come again. See what spirit, if you have, what it can cause a congregation to do. You know? It can cause a congregation to come right at the leaders. Yeah. Murmuring at them. You brought us out here. Oh, man. Who are you two? And they said, the whole congregation said to them, would God we had died in the land of Egypt. Now, what a dumb saying. See, when you got the wrong spirit, when you're complaining, when you're discouraged, when you're unbelieving, when you're a pessimist, when you just have an evil report to give, you don't think right. Now I'm telling you, you will not think right. I cannot believe that they would say something like this. And God hears all things, folks. I mean, God is hearing what is going on. I wish that God would have let us die in the land of Egypt. Ridiculous. Or would God we had died in the wilderness. Listen to this complaining about everything now. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword? Or our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? Now they're getting a plan. We need to return to Egypt. Now, because of these evil reports and the spirit that's upon these men, and they brought it back to the congregation, now the congregation is deciding to do something else instead of going by the Lord's way and obeying Moses and Aaron. They don't want to go forward. They don't want to go into the land. Now they want to go back to where they used to be. They want to go back to slavery. They want to go back to the whip. They want to go back to the onions. They want to go back to the garlic. They want to go back to the brick pits. We want to go backward when God wants them forward. Anytime we have a spirit that is not willing to go forward, it'll take us backward. Come on, now stay with me here. I don't have much longer, and I just want you to understand some of these spirits that these men had. I don't want you to have the same spirit. I don't want the same spirit. I don't want to go backward. We can only go forward. I don't want to die in this wilderness. I want to go into the promised land. I want to go into the possession that God has given me. Oh, hallelujah. Unbelievable what they had to say right here. I cannot believe it. They began to murmur. They needed to spend time and be thankful for what God has done. I think that would stop a lot of these spirits that come upon people if they'd be thankful for what God has done for them. We need to remember and not forget His benefits. Oh, that God would bless us, church. And Moses and Aaron, in verse 5, fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation. Oh, excuse me. I skipped verse 4. We'll see this rebellious spirit here. And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain." Ha-ha. "And let us return unto Egypt." They did not want to go on with God. They've already pushed God off to the side. He's done us no good. They've already declared He's done us no good. He brought us out here to die. We might as well die in Egypt. God's not going to help us. God has told Moses, "Tell them which I give unto the children of Israel. I'm giving you this promised land." But they don't believe God. They only see the obstacles, and they come back with the spirits of unbelief. They come back with spirits that are rebellious and spirits that are discouraging to everyone else. They come back complaining spirits. There's nothing worse than hearing people complain. No one likes that. Now, if you're in here and you say you like a person that complains, something's wrong with you. Because it just drags you down. You know, say, "Brother, say something good." You know, say something good. Don't bring me down. Nothing worse than brothers and sisters bringing one another down. We're not here to bring each other down. We're here to lift each other up. So I ask you again today, what type of spirit do you have? What spirit do you bring to church? What spirit do you portray and delay or relay to other people? What do they see in you, in your spirit? Is it a type of spirit which we will get to with Joshua here and Caleb? But I want you to see here, be careful, because now they have this rebellion spirit. Let's make a captain. Let's get a leader. Let's get somebody else for this Moses and Aaron. Kick them out. We don't need them. My. Such audacity. This Moses God has chosen, and Aaron. This is the Moses that all the plagues came, that God used to show upon Egypt. It's this Moses that God has chosen to lead the people out of the land of bondage. And they've got the gall to say, "Let's make another captain." Wow. Come on, church. It would be like someone coming into our church, causing unbelief, causing rebellion in the church, of a spirit of rebellion, and saying, "Hey, we don't need Brother Woods anymore. Let's get somebody else." Come on. Well, Brother Woods has been here 21 years. 21, 22? I don't know exactly. I'll say 21. 21 years building, encouraging, building the church, leading the church through God. And to say, someone come in and say, "We don't need him." That's what they were doing. This is what they're doing. "We don't need this Moses anymore." Rebellious people. It's amazing. God didn't just spit out fire and consume them all. He wanted to, I think. I think He really did. And it says, "And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were with them that searched the land, rent their clothes." Man, they couldn't take it anymore, folks. You talk about a holy boldness now. That's it. "I'm sick and tired of these men bringing these evil spirit reports back to the congregation of God. It's time that men and women stand up against what is evil in this land." And especially in the household of God. Amen, church. We should be able to discern in these last days the good and the evil among us. Amen. Joshua and them, Joshua and Caleb, man, they rent their clothes. And they spake unto the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I mean, look at their spirit. Come on. A spirit that lifts up. It's a spirit of hope. Hallelujah. It's a spirit of trusting in God. It's a spirit that delights in the Lord. It's not an evil spirit. It's not a complaining one. It's one that has, hey, fellas, God has shown us good things here. We spied out the land. It is ours. Let's get it. Amen. It's exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, listen to verse 8, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Man, they, see, discernment, discernment, discernment. They understood what these people are doing. They saw the spirit of rebellion in them. Glory to God. And they exposed them for what they were. We need to be men and women today that expose any rebellion, any spirit that is not of Christ. Amen. We don't let it pass by. We don't let it just filter in the churches. We don't let it sit with us in the pews. Come on now. No, we expose it. Hey. You know, hold up a minute here. God's good to us. God's prospered us. We follow God. Glory. Men of discernment, these two men were. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. They had a cowardly spirit. They were cowards. They did not even want to fight for what God is going to give them. We can't be cowards in this day and age. The Bible says, be bold as lion, as meek as doves. We need to make sure we stand in this generation, in this congregation, men and women of faith, bold before God. For they are bread for us, they said. I like that. What do you do with bread, folks? You eat it. You devour it, right?
Yeah.
It's for your consumption. Notice what these men said. In other words, I don't care if they've got giants in the land. I don't care if they've got armies and fortresses and cities that are built around us. I don't care if they have strongholds in here. They're bread for us. Woo-hoo-hoo! Glory to God, which we will see. Indeed, they are when the next generation, because this one has failed, but the next generation comes and Joshua enters into Jericho. We know what happens to the walls there, don't they? What fortified city Jericho had. Sure, they had walls all around them, but God flattened them. Boom! If you believe, all things are possible with God. But this generation could not believe God. This generation could not trust God. Only rebel ye not against the Lord. Now, who are they rebelling against? And I'm closing here in just a minute. Who are they rebelling against? The Lord. Oh, but Brother Cottle, you know, they said in front of the congregation, they said in front of Moses, in front of Aaron. They're rebelling against God. God hears every word they've been speaking. God sees everything they've been doing. God hears the report before the congregation. God hears the congregation weeping all night long and crying the blues. All because of the 10 men that came and gave this report. These 10 men caused a whole generation to fall with their carcasses in the desert. Instead, this generation might have been able to go into the promised land that God would give if they would obey God, if they would have given a good report. If they'd have brought back like Joshua and Caleb, we're well able to take the people. They're bred for us. Let's go get it. If they would have kept with that type of report, maybe that generation would have been a generation that would have gone on in.
Right.
Amen.
What are you trying to say, Brother Cottle? I'm trying to say, be careful how we present ourselves before God among the congregation. Be careful. The spirit that we may have among God, that we don't enter into the promises that God has given to us. because we have a spirit that is like theirs. You say, oh, brother, I'll never have that type of spirit. Well, let me tell you, the devil is out there. He is one who seeketh to destroy. He's a raging lion. And he will try to do anything he can to divide the church. That's right. And if he can divide the church, if he can bring in spirits that complain, spirits, a spirit of unbelief in the church, a complaining spirit, a murmuring spirits within the church, and to bring the church down, guess what? The devil's won. Because we'll never go into the promises that God wants us to go into. It's the church that stays like Caleb. It's a church that stays like Joshua. These men had the hope. Had the spirit of hope, you know. A spirit of hope. Wow. Had the spirit of trusting God. Woo! What God has given us, fellas. Let's go and take it. They're bread for us. Let's get on our armor. Let's go. Man, let's go. I'm ready to fight. I want what God has given. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just don't rebel. Rebellion, we know this Bible says, is a sin of what? Witchcraft. Evil rebellion is. Woo! Just like they're witches. My, my, my. But all the congregation. Now I want you to notice verse 10. I'm fixing to close here very quickly. But all the congregation. Thank you for your patience. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Now what kind of spirit is that? I call it a murderous spirit. It's interesting, if you go through it, you can see the progression of their evil spirits, how worse they get. The next one, the next one. Down now to a murderous spirit. They want to pick, they're going to pick up stones and kill Moses and Aaron. They don't want them anymore. They bathed them with stone, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. God says, enough is enough. I've heard enough. I've heard enough. I've heard enough. And God comes down in the midst of them. Amen. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have shown among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a great nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, the Egyptians shall hear of it, for they brought us up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land, for they have heard that the Lord art among this people, and the Lord art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud and a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. Now, I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according to thou hast spoken, saying, now listen, church, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Oh, let's kill Moses and Aaron. Boy, if they had even tried to do that, or if they had succeeded to do that, don't you know God would have wiped out those people? Because who interceded for them? Moses. Who prayed for them? Moses. Who cared about the honor of God? Moses. It wasn't the people. Because they have tempted God 10 times, their carcasses will fall in the desert. God said, this generation will not go in to the promised land. This generation is going to die. The next generation, they will go in. Now, I want to stop and I want to ask you just a couple questions. What type of spirit do you have? When I look at that and I begin to study these few chapters with these spies that came over, and I see how they had pessimistic spirits among them and cowardly spirits, unbelieving, discouraging, complaining, rebellious spirits, murmuring spirits, and murderous spirits among them. This was the type of people that were among the congregation of Israel and bringing nothing but bad reports. Only two men stood up in the congregation of those wicked men. They were outnumbered. But they stood their ground. And because they stood their ground, God says, only Caleb and only Joshua will enter into the promised land. So what spirit do we have? Well, I know and pray that none of this will fall upon us. These spirits that these men had. And I'm only hoping that the spirit of Caleb and Joshua, who delighted in God, who hoped and trusted in Him, the spirit that uplifted and built up, the spirit that was fearless and courageous before God, would be among us. Because God has a work for us in this church. God has a work for us in this church. We're not to go back where we once were. We're to go forward with God. God is not looking for those who draw back. Amen. God is looking for those who put their hands to the plow and they go forward, not looking back. And with a good spirit, and not a spirit that we have read about, spirits we have read about here in these two chapters. So I want you to stand with me this afternoon. Thank you for your patience. I hope that maybe you've seen it maybe a little different light than you maybe have heard before. But I want you to look at your own self. Judge your own spirit. Come on now. Know where you are. Know how you've been talking. Know how you've been encouraging. Know how you've been strengthening others. And that it may continue. That it may build others. That it may lift one another up in the grace of Jesus Christ. Because when you're in the congregation of God, and God is with us right here, we need to be very careful how we come and approach God. Because God is going to judge us for the spirit in which we come before Him.
Amen.
And if that spirit is good, I believe we're going to go on with God. He's going to open up the doors. He's going to open up the avenues. He's going to open up such wonders before this church. Aren't y'all looking for it?
Oh, yeah.
Aren't you expectant that God is going to do great things?
Yes, amen.
Aren't you looking for this place to be just busting out? I am. I am. Because God has opened doors for us in ministries, and God is going to bring a great harvest. Only have faith in God and have a right spirit among you.
Yes.
David said it like this, Lord, cast not thy Holy Spirit from me. He's nothing without that spirit. Create a renew within me a right spirit.
Yeah.
A right spirit. That's what we need, church.
Oh, yeah.
A right spirit in the congregation of God. To serve Him, to love Him, and that God would move us forward, that God would push us and move us, and we'd be excited where God is taking us. So So one thing I noticed about these children, they never seemed to be excited about the promised land. It was superficial. Until they saw the obstacles that were before them, oh, I'm excited. But when we see the obstacles, ooh, I don't know. Our God is with us, church.
Yes, He is.
This week, may the Lord bless you. Be in prayer for each other. Be in prayer for what God is going to do for us. And may God strengthen you with a mighty spirit.
Yes.
Woo!
Oh, yes.
That is able to go forward for God and to take what God has given us. And God will be with us. As He said, I will give them the land. God has told us He's got things for us, promises for us, He's going to give us. Only have a good spirit. Don't worry about the obstacles. Don't worry about those things. Don't worry about the giants in the land. Don't worry about the impenetrable walls and the fortresses around us. My God is able to bring them down. He's able to pierce through the darkness and the thickness that is in this land. God has a people He wants, because the days are shortened now. God is soon coming, church. And I want to be about His business. I want to be about His purpose. I want to be conquering where God is sending us to conquer. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So, what spirit have you? Conquering. Glory to God. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. Who is able to help us? God. If God be for us, Andrew, what? Who be against us? That's it. That's what Joshua and Caleb were telling them. God is with us. God is with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for the day You've given us.